are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord God, we thank you just that we can come so freely and enter into your presence here at church. Father, we thank you for church community. We thank you for the life that is in this place. And Father, we just acknowledge right now that it is not about how great we can do admin to make church work. Lord God, it is about your presence working in and through us. So Jesus, we just ask you and we just acknowledge you as head over this place right now. Have your way in us, Lord God, as we open up our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 So I'm quite aware, as Graham said, that there might be some people here who haven't been around at church for 2020. This is your first day in church for the decade. Welcome to church for you. We've had 4 weeks already and 4 great sermons just about our direction, about looking back on the past year, but then looking forward into what is to come for us. And so I encourage you, if you're a part of our church, to go back and have a listen to those. There's some really good stuff in there. But I've been really looking forward to today because today is the day where I get to share with you the vision that I believe God has given us for 2020 as a church. Since before we made the announcement as an eldership in October last year, I was thinking about the future of us as a church and praying about what God wanted to do in and through us moving forward. And to be honest, this theme came to me pretty quickly and pretty clearly around that time. But to be honest, I handballed it back at God a few times. I don't know if you've ever been in those situations where God kind of shares something with you and you know it's right and you know it's true, but you just don't see how it's going to work. And so you handball it back. And so God and I played tennis. Well, he really just smashed it back at me and I fumbled around and tried to throw it back. But we did that a few times and I went and had a chat to Pastor Graham and he instilled some confidence in me and reminded me to simply be obedient. Because who knows that being obedient to God should always override our own insecurity, yeah? We are simply responsible for the obedience. God is responsible for the outcome. And we can always trust in him. And so we had a great time, actually, last year, making our way through our Jesus' theme. And I know I've come away with a greater understanding and appreciation of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. But for this year, it wasn't a sentence, it wasn't a saying, and it's not really a theme, but it's an action. And the word God gave me for 2020 is grow. Grow. It's simple. That 2020 would be a year of great growth when it comes to each one of us and our relationship with God. That in years' time, we can look back on 2020 and say, wow, I am so thankful for the way God moved in and through my life in 2020. I was sharing this with one of our team a few weeks ago, and they accurately put it, growth is the evidence of life. Growth is the evidence of life. If Jesus Christ, who is life, is the Lord of our lives, then the evidence of that is growth, is for us to grow. Here are a few scriptures about God's desire for us to continue to grow. I'm just going to pop them up on the screen. In 2 Peter 3:18, he says to us, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." In Colossians 1:9-10, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of God and pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." A little bit further on, in Colossians 2:6-7, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." God's heart for us is to continue to grow. This last one for this part is Psalm 92, 12 to 14. And this is for those, you'll get it in a second. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Is anyone who's of more of experienced age who is excited about feeling fresh and green? Yes, come on. I don't know why I walked over that way. Sorry. Is there anyone here? It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter where you've got some grey hair. It doesn't matter whether you've been on the earth a little longer than the others. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Maybe it should say fresh and grey, but no, fresh and green. It's good. While you're still alive here on earth, God's heart for you is to grow. And speaking of growth, I heard this one the other day. See if you've heard it. A man goes to the doctor with some lettuce growing out of his nose. And the doctor says, "Is it painful?" He said, "Painful? That's just the tip of the iceberg." Yes. Isn't that a goodie, huh? It's not really that good. I know. The thumbs down. Yeah, I get it. I know. Oh. I know, that's the sort of thing that would normally come out of Chris Blacker's mouth, isn't it? That sort of, I mean, out his nose. But here's, I'm going to take a drink of water, hold on. Here's one thing I just want to clarify with regard to this theme, with regard to grow. Growth is something that can be seen that happens inwardly, and something that can be seen that happens outwardly, as like in the church growing. And I just want to be clear that our desire as a church is to grow. Unashamedly, I tell you that I would love to see our church filled and overflowing. Why? Because we have a community of people out there that need to know the love of Jesus. Would anyone be excited to see that happen, you know? To see just people coming in and finding out the love that we all know and experience here. I'm excited for that. But it's the growth that we see that can only come from Him that transforms our own hearts, that then causes others to see the change and come to know Him. So our focus as a church when it comes to grow is not outward, it is inward. And we know that as we allow God to transform us from the inside out, we will then see others experience that transformational love that we have. In a few weeks' time, we're about to enter into March. And this is something we've been doing for the last few years as a church. I mean, we've been doing March, yes, as a church, like all of us. But what we've been doing is spending the month fasting and praying. And we started with Feb fast. Now we've moved it 1 month, and we're going to do it in March. And we're just going to do March. It's going to be a month of prayer and fasting. And I look forward to that month every single year as we get to put aside some time and allow God's direction to come to us and whether we want to see breakthrough in a certain area of life or even just to grow with our relationship with God as we intentionally put the time aside. And so I'd encourage you now, you know, don't wait until the end of February to start thinking about or asking God, what are you looking for me to fast and pray for in March? Start to think about that now. What is God asking you? What is God speaking to you about? And here are just a few of the things that I wrote down that I would love to see individuals growing in this year. I'm believing to see people have victory over sin. Victory over areas of sin that have been holding them down, to see the power broken and to see the right habits patterns restored in the name of Jesus. I want to see people have victory in spiritual disciplines. If you've struggled with your prayer life or if you've struggled with reading the Bible, I'm believing we're going to see breakthrough in your life this year as we make the decision every day to grow. I want to see people grow in their leadership. You think about, and that leadership course is a great start to that. And you might think in your life, well, I'm not really a leader. but it could be a leader of your family, could be a leader of your kids, could be a leader of a team of people, or even a whole organization. Or perhaps you have influence over a few people. Whatever the case, I'm believing for all of us to grow in the area of leadership. Growth in relationships. Relationships are so tricky, whether they're close or they're distant. But I'm really believing we're going to see growth in areas of relationship in people's lives. Maybe there are close family members that are no longer close that we're going to see restored this year in the name of Jesus. As I was thinking about the relationships, for me, a lot of those long-distance ones are ones that there's a prompting, you know, there's just a little prompting of the Holy Spirit of that person. You think, why did I think of that person? There's no, to shoot them a text message takes 1 minute of my time, and yet that can lead to many more things. That can be a seed for the building or rebuilding of a relationship. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I want to see people grow in their love of others in general, our love of people. And I know as we continue to seek God that He is going to grow us and He's going to do a work in our hearts to see that happen. But here's the big one, and this is the one I circled as I was writing these down and as God was speaking to me, that I want to see us grow in the one-on-one time we spend with God, the quiet time that we have with the Holy Spirit. This time is like the fuel for everything else. Let's have a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 7 and 8. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. There are many things that we can spend our lives doing and spend a lot of time doing in life and sometimes regret that we did them. Spending more time with God, I can guarantee you, is something that you will never regret. If we look back on 2020 at the end of this year and go, man, I spent a lot more time with God this year than I have ever in my life, you are only going to be thankful and your mind is going to be, like Graham used, blown away by what God is able to share with you and what He's able to do in you this year. If you get your Bibles, we're going to open them up today to Ephesians. And we're going to go to chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses here today. This is one of a number of scriptures where the Apostle Paul specifically encourages believers through his letters to grow from being children to becoming adults when it comes to the things of God. He starts by speaking about some of the gifts that He's given us and why. So Ephesians 4, we're going to start in verse 11. He says, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. There's that growth again. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And just to stop there, that is so important for us to grow because of that reason alone. In today's day and age, where things we can blow to and fro based on emotion or based on what someone else says, but we need to base it on the Word of God. And that's why we need to grow when it comes to our knowledge and our understanding of the Word of God, so that we know the truth. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, Jesus the head. He's the one we look to, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we all have a responsibility to grow individually. But it's as we grow and begin to work together that we are going to be the most effective in shining the love of Christ. If you were to talk about New Year's resolutions, Chris shared a message on those last week. We can talk about the different goals that we have or the different habit patterns we want to set up in life. And there are many things that we can do. And we can talk about professional growth in your workplace. We can talk about success. We can talk about financial growth. We can talk about physical growth. We can talk about the growth when it comes to certain skills you have in life. And to be honest, the end of most of those goals is to better us. And it's not a bad thing. Some of those things are really good to have goals towards. But at the end of the day, they're about us. But the goal here, as it says in Ephesians 4:13, is this: until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When you ask Jesus into your life for the first time and make him Lord of your life, surrendering your life to him, that is such an amazing moment, such an important time for all of us as believers. But I love this quote from Max Lucado, the author. He says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And I think it's amazing coming into this year that we have just spent a whole year looking at who Jesus is and what he has done. And basically our growth goal is to become more like Jesus. In its simplest form, growing is to become more like Jesus. So how are we going to see this happen? The first thing, this is really important that we need to know, is that just hearing it and going away is not really going to do it for us. The first thing to realize is that growth doesn't just happen. Has anybody ever had a plant at home that did not survive? Anybody? I really actually want to see a show of hands. Have you had a plant at home that did not survive? Any plant. Yeah. Has anybody had 100% success rate with plants at home? No. Oh, Cam has. Is that because you don't have any plants? No. He left his hand up too long. That's okay, Cam. So we're all in the same boat in understanding how that works. A plant just doesn't grow by itself. And you might go outside and say, Andy, I've been trying to kill my plants for years and they still keep coming back. That's the other side. That's not what we're talking about here. And I hear you on that. I've got a yard too. And it doesn't mean just because we don't do anything with the plants, it doesn't mean there's not something happening there in the first place. Growth doesn't just happen. There are no shortcuts. There are no instant pills. It doesn't matter how fast your internet is at home. You can't download growth really fast. It takes time and it's not automatic. If you want 2020 to be a growth year for you, it has to be intentional. If we're going to see this year to be a year of great growth in our lives, which is what God wants for us, I'm just going to give us three things for you to write down today, and we're going to explore this in a bit more detail as we go throughout the year. But here's just three things that will assist us in moving forward when it comes to growth. Three steps of growth. The first step is we have to have good soil. Good soil. When I was thinking about good soil, I was imagining us making sure we plant ourselves in good soil, that we put ourselves in a position to grow, whether that be church or life group. And that was great, and it was a great thought. And a lot of this stuff just, it's a thought to start with. But Jesus uses a parable, actually, to explain this very point. And he shares a parable in Matthew 13 and a couple other places, the parable of the sower, who scatters some seed around. Some falls on the path, some falls on the rocky ground, some in the thorns, and some falls on good soil. And he goes on to explain that the seed that is sown is the word of God. And the seed that was sowed on the path, what happens to it? It gets snapped up really quickly by the birds. And the seed that goes onto the rocky ground, it shoots up really quickly. But when the sun comes down, the roots are too shallow and it does not survive. Then there's the seed that goes... Oh, did I miss one? The weeds, the thorns. So that was the seed that goes onto the rocky ground. The thorns come up and choke out the seed. The thorns come up. But the seed that goes on the good soil, it is allowed to grow and produce grain. And here's the key. The good soil is not a place that we go. The good soil is a heart that we open. It's not a place. It is a decision of our hearts to make our hearts good soil, to receive. Good soil is about having a humble heart that is ready to hear the word of God and understand it. After that, it says about the person with the open heart, he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. My question for us as a church, as individuals today, is your heart ready? Are you ready to grow? Are you cultivating a heart that is ready to receive what God has for you this year, that's preparing to see growth? The first step is to be open. So after good soil, the second step that we need is water. Water. Anyone, we had some plants die over the month of December at home. December was a pretty dry month for us, and unless you had some really big stuff or you plugged your hoses into some sprinklers at home, you would have had some plants go a little bit yellow and maybe die. Water is essential to growth, absolutely essential. Jesus, in the book of John and chapter 7 and 37, he speaks and he's at the Festival of Tabernacles, and he gets up and he speaks and he says these words. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Then that water is already there flowing within you. The Holy Spirit is the one who waters that open heart where the seed is being sown. The seed, the word of God gets sown. Our open heart, the soil that is allowed to receive that seed. And the Holy Spirit who comes to water that word and give us revelation, making it come alive in us, allowing us to grow. There it is. Open heart. The word of God into an open heart with revelation from the Holy Spirit, we'll see growth in our lives. And the final thought for us today, and it says it so many times in so many passages, is these three words. It says, grow and bear fruit. Luke 8:15, thanks Josh, is a parallel of the parable we heard before. And this is what Jesus says about the seed that falls on the good soil. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast and in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Another version says, and by persevering, produce a crop. And as we wake up every morning of 2020 saying, good morning, God, I'm ready for another step towards you today. With perseverance, we will bear fruit. And I'm looking forward to hearing the testimonies of people as they see the fruit that comes from the sowing of the seed, the preparation of your heart, and the watering of the Holy Spirit. Is anyone else ready for a year of great growth in 2020? Yeah, come on, come on. As we move towards what God has for us. So we're going to pray and we're going to take communion. It's just going to be a moment for us to give thanks to God, to acknowledge what he's done for us on the cross. And again, giving us life so that we may move forward and grow. Father God, we thank you for, Lord God, your word. Lord, we thank you that no matter our background, no matter our history, no matter where we've come from, Lord God, no matter why we are sitting here or how we got here today, Father, you are scattering that seed. You are sending it out. And Father, we just need to be able to open up our hearts to allow your Holy Spirit to water that word in us. So Lord, we stand today and say we are ready to see you do a mighty work in us in 2020. Father, I pray that you would give us the strength with regard to the decisions that we make. And even now, if there's some things that are in your mind that God has put there, and even they might have been put there at the start of the year and you haven't actioned them, that you would rely on the strength of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, to get you through in those areas of your life. Father, we give them to you right now. Have your way in us, in Jesus' name. Have your way. We're going to come around the communion table right now. So if the team can come and pass around the elements, that'd be great. And as I said, we're just going to do this. And I'm not actually going to share much of a communion message. I'm just going to read the Word of God to you. And this passage that I'm going to read came to me as I was doing the study for some of this stuff, and it speaks about Jesus bringing us from death to life. Because like we talked about right at the start, growth is the evidence of life. We're only in the position to be able to grow because of what Christ did for us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Just if you have your communion already, just close your eyes and just allow these words to be revelation to you. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, as we stand here and sit here today, with these elements, the biscuit representing Jesus, your broken body on the cross, and this juice representing the blood that has washed our sins. Father, we just give you thanks for your Son. And as we enter into this season, Lord God, of growth, Father, we acknowledge that none of it is possible without your great gift in Jesus Christ. So just in your own time, give him thanks and take the elements. before we go today, after all that, the only reason I can stand and I can share today and we are in the position we are as a church is because obviously of God, but secondly because of our amazing leaders who have done it for a long time. And thanks, Steph. And we're going to honor Graham and Chris this morning before we go. As most of you know, in October last year, Pastor Graham announced that although he is still our senior pastor and the leader of Life Ministry Center, he'll be handing over the direct leadership of the church here after some 21 years in the senior role. He shared a little bit of his journey at that time. However, I wanted to take the time now to honor Graham and Chris this morning for how they've allowed God to work through them here at LMC. Graham started with LMC in 1982 when it was called Life Christian Academy. Is anybody here when it was Life Christian Academy? A few people, yeah. It's a while ago. And he was an elder, he was a pastor, and he was administrator under Pastor Hal Oxley. And let's have those first three photos. This first one, look at that young guy, a young beetle. Oh, look at that. And then the next one. And this is them on team. He had many roles over the next few years in the Oxley College grounds and in the Bible College and in counseling. And he was one of the guys, one of the team who not only project managed the building of this building here, but actually built the building himself. Did you lay bricks? You're a bricklayer? No, you didn't lay bricks. So he didn't build the building. He was just around. There were other things he did. In the late 80s, both him and Chris came on full-time at LMC after running their own successful manufacturing business. And Graham's roles at that time morphed into youth pastor, young adults, and get this, worship. He was a worship leader here. Steph, if we need someone for the next roster, do I hear any amens to that? Come on, Pastor Graham, give the people what they want. No. We don't have. Around this time, they started a home group in Hillsville that grew to about 80 people before founding a church that is now Liberty Family Church in Hillsville. In 97 and 98, Graham and Chris moved into some itinerant ministry before in August 98, they were appointed the senior pastors of our church. And these next few photos, I think around that time, that's no doubt a sermon on pruning. Yep. Next one. Oh, that's a lovely photo. I thought you looked like Andre Agassi in that. You reckon? No, maybe not. Next one. And there they are. This was this 97-98 period. I mean, we put up some fun photos, but it was actually a tough time for us in the history of this place. And I asked Graham this week why he would want to take the reins in such a tough period. And his answer was this, and it epitomizes Graham and Chris. Because of our love for this place and the original vision and in obedience to the call of God. Something that you have continued to cultivate in so many of us. It has been through your steady leading hand and willingness to be obedient to God no matter the cost that we can stand here today with a solid foundation of the Word of God under our feet, ready and excited for the future. Often in ministry, we don't get to see the full extent of the growing of the seeds that we've planted. And I'm sure it's no different in your case. However, I hope that you can look around both now and in the years to come, excited to see the growth of both the small and the large investments you've made in the lives of so many. It is through your leadership that we as a church can move forward with a foundation that says we will not compromise when it comes to our obedience to the Word of God and leading of the Holy Spirit, our confidence and knowledge that God is our provider, and that through it all we can let the peace of God rule and reign in our hearts. Graham, I would not be here today without your leadership, your love, and your guidance. We are blessed to have had you as our leader for the last 21 years, and we look forward to many more to come, no matter what your title is. Chris, I honor you for your steadfastness, for staying true to God's calling on your life, no matter the trials faced that I'm sure you didn't ask for. Thank you for the beautiful spirit that you display in everything you do, not only as a mother of your own children, but as a mother and a grandmother of this church. Life Ministry Center will forever be indebted to you for the way that you put aside your own personal desires to serve God and this place. So we've got something for you. And as a church, can we please stand? And can you guys come up here, please? As much as you don't want to. Church, can we please honor our senior pastors who have given their lives over to the work of God and the ministry of this place for us? Can we honor them and say thank you to them right now? Thanks. These gifts are so small in comparison to what you've given. But we just want to—I just want to pray for them as we go today. And if we can stretch our hands out to Graham and Chris, maybe we'll just come forward a little bit here. Father God, we thank you so much for blessing us as a church with such amazing leaders. We thank you for the way that they have led by example in putting aside our own desires, Lord God, and looking to you above all else. So, Father, as we stand here and we thank you for what they have done, Lord God, we think to the future and what they are going to continue to achieve. And I just pray that you would just continue to birth new dreams and new visions in them. Lord God, that they would know that there is that their time is not done, that there is way more to come, Lord God. There is more to come in you. And Father, I just pray your blessing upon them today as we go. Lord God, we thank you again for all they have brought to us. And we just pray that you would keep them in your arms for as long as possible. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Let's thank him again. Come on.